Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Deep Dive, and today we say hello to Tiffany, who now
Hi.
Joins me as my co-host. Welcome.
Thank you.
Although this is not your first rodeo doing a podcast, right?
No, yeah. No. So I used to co-host the Work It podcast, mm-hmm. and during Deep Dive recording days, I'm actually behind the camera.
Yep.
So, you know, but you know, our bosses, they like to keep us on our toes. So they say, you know, leave the Work It podcast, come here and supervise you.
Obviously, you didn't work it enough, I think.
That maybe is that's true. Why. Maybe that is true. That's true.
Send you down here where we just go deep
deeper,
and
because I wasn't deep
you know?
Enough.
It wasn't deep
yeah,
enough.
Yeah, I wasn't deep enough. Yeah.
So, Tiffany will be joining me, and together we will be, of course, taking you deeper into the issues as we continue with our podcast Deep Dive. And today, actually, we're talking about something that I think all of us in Singapore have grown up with, having to learn a second language.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Did you learn Chinese too?
I did Chinese as my mother tongue.
Me too. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, don't look so surprised.
I'm like quite surprised.
Come on, give me some credit. You know, I can still order my food at the hawker center.
That's true. That's
all that counts.
That's probably all that you need.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So today we want to talk about that because there was a commentary by a parent who wrote that learning Chinese has become too difficult for kids today, and that's not a great thing.
Yeah, unfortunately it isn't. And some Singaporeans are also becoming more comfortable in English than their mother tongue. So we want to talk about the challenges that parents and students face when it comes to mother tongue and what can we do to make it easier for everyone.
So in studio today, we have a few guests to help us with this chat. Hayati Abdullah is Director for Malay Language Programs at NUSA, Malay Language Tuition and Enrichment Centre.
Hello. Thank you for having me here.
And also Dr. Tan Yiling, a writer, communication specialist, and she also runs the Chinese online bookstore, Xiaowase Books.
Yes.
Yeah?
Hello.
In this commentary that we were referring to, this parent wrote that learning Chinese has become too difficult for kids these days. So is this something that you hear in your circles, Yiling?
I sell books, right? So a lot of parents come to me and they have expressed that, yes, Chinese is becoming increasingly difficult. So even before they buy a book from me, they would ask, like, what is this level for? Can I even read it? So even reading to kids is becoming very daunting. Because they themselves are unable to understand. So then how can they read to their kids, which is how we all learn a language in the first place, right? So I think our problem is it becoming increasingly more difficult. And if we continue, I think this problem is going to
explode. So in other words, you're saying what the books or the standard of Mandarin in this case has become too high, that it's no longer accessible to even like those of us who grew up learning Mandarin, you know, for like many years?
I don't think the standard is too high, but I think we do not have that learning environment anymore. So a lot of us go through 10 years of Chinese education and then we barely speak, we barely read.
So we're just learning it for school to take the exam, then after the exams are done, poof.
Yeah, like you said, you just wanted to, you so long as you can buy something, in fact, you can just
you get
point,
by.
Like Tai Fan, you can just point.
Yeah, but what's wrong with that?
That's true, you just point, you
and
don't
there's
even
no,
have to say
no,
anything,
there's,
right?
No, there's no problem
Isn't it all about communication? At the end of the day, whether it's Mandarin, Malay, any language, I want to be able to go around and make sure people understand what I'm saying and be able to, you know, get things done.
But it's not just also with, you know, among us Chinese as well. Even in the Malay circles, do you also see that there is also a problem?
It is getting harder for our students, but it is not like what Yiling say, because the language itself has become harder, but it's more of their own ability level, which is because of the lack of exposure to the language. So it's difficult for our children because they are not exposed to the language as much as compared to us. And that is partly because we ourselves are speaking less of the language at home. So we are part of the problem as well.
Yeah, okay. So it comes down to the parents.
So obviously, I mean, I admit in my family, we only speak English, you know.
Yeah.
I can't for the life of me speak Mandarin to my kids. Do you try and do this dual language thing?
Yeah,
like
one
language, right?
Yeah, so we do two languages at home. So my husband speaks to the kids in Mandarin and then I speak to them in English. But that is our parenting choice, right? It's not easy and, you know, and my husband will always be the first to say that it's always easier to scold them in English because instructions are clearer. Just
and maybe
the
you
point.
Understand better.
Yeah, you know, and then the eye, you know, there's in their eyes, they light up and they're like, I get it. You are upset with me and I must do this. But what are both your parenting choices when it comes to mother tongue
at
home?
Okay, so I have a funny story. My elder daughter was born in the US, mm-hmm. and she only came back when she was about 3 years old. So when she was in the US, we only exclusively spoke to her in Chinese.
Okay.
So to the point where when she was at the playground, she would say the other people are speaking funny.
Oh.
Because she's like, I don't know what they're talking about because they're all speaking English. So she never, okay. she only okay. knew Chinese. When she came back to Singapore, within half a year, she only spoke English.
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
So the environment is so important. So, you know, we keep saying that maybe it's the parents we have to speak more, but I think it goes beyond that. I think just parents speaking to them is not enough.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. I think I'm quite a tiger mom when it comes to pushing Chinese. I mean, mm-hmm. I have a Chinese bookstore, right? So my kids never knew that there are English radio stations until okay. last wow. year.
Until last year?
Yes.
Wow. How old are your kids?
My kids are 11 and 13 because my all the radio stations in our car are Chinese stations.
Wow. Right.
So I blast Chinese music right. at home, in the car.
Do you think Singapore is like this?
Yeah, they think that radio stations are exclusively for Chinese
right.
music. So, okay. I mean, I think I'm quite extreme and I push them whenever I can. We have lots of Chinese books.
Actually,
but
why do that? Why push them so hard?
Because
to
I really want them to grow up with their mother tongue. I think it's a personal yeah. choice.
Why?
I love Chinese.
But because
myself.
In the real world, English yeah. is the main language. In the working world, especially.
Yes. So it's more for a cultural yeah. thing. So because I think personally, when I was in the US, I was there for 15 years. Mm. So I find myself gravitating towards Chinese because it really was my mother tongue.
Yeah.
So when I'm back here, I wanted my children to learn it. But my children's Chinese... Okay, yes, it's not very good.
Not very good.
Okay. I will say this on the podcast. They know it. Yeah, so I tell this to all my customers too. Even for me, my children's Chinese are okay. Yeah.
When I was a kid, my parents put me in a Chinese school, primary school. You know, I learned Chinese and English as first language for the first mm-hmm. few years. But all that happened was I went there and who are my friends? Only the guys who speak English, mm-hmm. right? Because I didn't want to hang out with the kids who speak Chinese, obviously. Right. So it didn't quite work in that sense. Mm-hmm. Do you speak to your kids in Malay at home?
I would say I'm not a purist where, okay. you know, I will only speak in Malay, my husband only speak English. No, it's not that. We both speak in both languages. But, and it's true, even among, I have five kids, so even among my children, everyone of them have different language ability
okay.
For mother tongue. So it could be that my eldest is strongest in Malay. Maybe at that time I am very conscious about using the language. But I think for now, we are quite relaxed because I think maybe in a Malay household it's quite easy because when they are learning religious studies, it is still done in the mother tongue language.
Yeah.
Being with family where the elderly do still speak a lot in the mother tongue. I don't go out of my way to push the language.
I just thought she brought in a good point because if your grandparents, for example, yes. only speak that yeah. language and yes. as grandchildren, you want to communicate with mm-hmm. them. So yes. there is an incentive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now, unfortunately, the incentive seems to be mm-hmm. exams.
Yeah.
Or the disincentive. I'm only learning to take this exam so that I can pass it and move on with life, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I must admit that for us, we only do this dual language thing because my in-laws speak predominantly in Mandarin. Mm. So for the grandkids to communicate to the grandparents, that's the only mm-hmm. language that mm-hmm. they can use. But I think for most people, it will just be like what Steve said, just mm-hmm. get across the line, right? Mm-hmm. But so to get across the line, I would assume that like, you know, if parents cannot do that in at home, they cannot teach the language, they cannot speak the language at home, then they'll try to outsource, right?
Yep.
So have you seen like enrollment in your centres, like, I don't know, shooting up or increasing?
Yes, definitely. The number of our students for mother tongue has definitely increased compared to the other subjects. For me, it is a good sign. Rather than a bad sign, it's a good sign. It shows that parents are more aware of the need to get the children to be exposed to the language better, to make it less painful for them
yeah.
as they're sitting for the exam. Mm. So the earlier you start, so we are the exposure that they much needed. So it is... rather than see it as hothousing mm-hmm. or, you know, making it something unbearable, it is precisely to make it bearable because they are, the more they are exposed to the language, the easier it will be for them.
But unfortunately, it is still because of exams. They're making it, you know,
that's true.
Trying to preempt the situation and say, let me start you early. Like I've even heard of kids in kindergarten already going
six
for
Chinese months.
Tuition,
we found that there is an enrichment center that actually offers students, kids in, who are 6 months old. One of the things that, you know, we found out is that the data has shown that there is a decline of mother tongue use at home. We spoke a little bit about how, you know, English is the dominant language. But I do also see that it's not just English being the dominant language. Most of our subjects are also taught in English. So that's the thing that parents always tell me, which is if I don't help my kids understand the English language, then they're not going to comprehend the math question or the science question. So I think that's the challenge. I mean, do parents come up to you and also say the same thing? Like, you know, we would rather just our kids focus on just English?
There is some truth to that. I think that's why when parents, young parents start, they try to give a lot of emphasis on English language so that the children will be more competent and can do well in all the subjects. Because as you know, our maths problem sum, it's largely
it's
understanding
50%
the language.
It's an English challenge.
Science also, there is some truth to it for them to work on the English language first. But that's why for mother tongue, you can see that in, MOE, SEAB, they have gone towards, you know, making what we are learning, what is being tested, so to say, it is something that you need in our daily life. It is not just a language, learning language, but something which is dead. So, for example, I always tell my students, where we are learning Malay, I'm actually helping you to learn for your English also, because we are practically discussing the same themes. For example, for my secondary school kids, we are learning about environment. It's the same theme. I also show my students your podcast, all your documentaries. So when we show them, see, we are doing, the content is important. So I'm giving you the Malay vocab for it, but at the same time, you are also learning this for your English, for your GP. So it's, they need to know that the language is something that is relevant in today's world, and also relevant, important to keep our culture going.
I think that's a good approach to take, where now you're learning the language because, yeah, you're trying to make it relevant to real life, to what's happening in the world. And yes, languages do help you understand things from a different point of view. And culturally, sometimes there are certain sensitivities where certain things are described a certain way. So knowing another language is very important. But at the same time, what we have now is a lot of our language, second language, is geared towards just for the exam. I mean, I look at some of the things the kids were learning. I'm thinking, why do they need to learn that? When you're in the real world working, you it's more about communication and being able to, you know, talk about and explain what it is you need to explain, right? So is it also about syllabus being a bit maybe too
needs
academic?
To be adjusted, maybe?
Yeah, adjusted to be more relevant to the needs of today versus what it was in the past.
I would say that the syllabus is trying to prepare our children for the way we live now.
Yeah.
The emphasis it's a lot on what we need now. So, for example, let's say for mother tongue composition writing. Parents who see it now, they will be very scared because I don't remember doing this in the past. So they perceive it as something too difficult. But it is exactly what our children need now. Okay. It is the thinking skill, is the ability to do research. So it is those skills that we are teaching, even when we are doing,
But then one would argue some kids already struggle with thinking in English. So now they have to do it in another language, you know, which is why I think a lot of parents.
Why am I thinking another language? I speak English, I think in English, then I convert to translate to Mandarin. And
you're not translating it right because the sentence structure is different.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, the person still understands what I need. So
how you know they understand what you need?
Well, I get my noodles with fishball and chili, you know.
What's happening is we're using our English language skills to think and then write in our mother tongue, which is why the writing always comes out weird.
Okay,
which is a real
problem. Is that effective though? Does that mean that we are still failing?
I think we are
trying to help our kids.
I think we are because we are not looking at it the language from a linguistic point of view. I don't know for Malay, I can only speak for Mandarin. There is a saying, "Ting shuo du xie," so you listen, you speak, you read, then you write. So there is this advancement, but our students are not listening enough. They're not speaking enough for sure. They're definitely not reading. But we require them to do writing at the composition level, yeah. which is a very advanced level. And they're having a lot of difficulty. Well, I agree it is a great idea. I mean, of course, in order to really be good and proficient in a language, you ultimately need to read and write. Mm-hmm. But are we even there yet? If they are unable to speak, even listening sometimes, if the conversation is too fast, they cannot even do that.
Yeah.
But I have to challenge you there because, again, with technology and AI, I mean... I put on the AI, it will do an auto-translate for me on the spot instantly. Mm-hmm. So why do I need to be so proficient with the language?
I agree with you. I don't think that we need to be that proficient. What I'm saying is that our exams are focusing on the last part, the most advanced part. Yeah. But we are not giving our students the skills they need to move there. So what we're seeing is a lot of helpless parents, helpless students who are so traumatized.
Okay.
I can barely speak. I can barely listen. But you want me to write something. Right. And they cannot understand the reading comprehension part. They cannot even understand that. But you want them to answer. You want them to think. But how many instances do they actually get to speak? In a classroom setting, they get maybe half an hour a day. The teacher is usually the one speaking. They are not speaking. They are passive listening, if they're listening at all. Then when do they actually get to have conversations? But then we are testing them.
So in other words, they don't really have the practice, but yet we're testing them on what they haven't really practiced.
But are we asking too much of the kids though? Because we are saying that like, okay, we want you to get here, but then at home I cannot help you because parents themselves, maybe they grew up in a generation, my friends grew up in a generation where they were severely traumatized by mother tongue, right? So they didn't enjoy the language at all, which is where now they are the generation of parents where they just go, I got money, I'm just going to outsource it to enrichment centers. I'm going to, you know, the school teachers will have to do the hard work of teaching my kids because I cannot handle it. But then we are also looking at the curriculum and going, eh, too hard lah. You know, so, I mean, where is that balance, you know, that we can help our kids so that we don't tax them too much and we expect so much from them?
Can we relook at our policies based on what we want them to achieve? Like, what does a successful bilingual person, educated in Singapore, how does this person look like? And what proficiency do we want this person to speak? Their first language as well as their mother tongue. I think to a lot of people, Mandarin is no longer their mother tongue because it's not even spoken at home.
Mm.
So then we are actually asking them to learn something and say, it's your heritage. It's a little bit of a hard sell.
Yeah.
Because it's been 65 years, we're all Singaporeans. I don't think we necessarily identify ourselves as like, Chinese.
No.
Ethnically.
We identify ourselves as Singaporeans. Yes. And English is the language we all use, which you know is the common denominator for all of us.
Right.
Is that the same in the Malay culture? Do you feel that some of it is being lost as we lose the language?
I remain hopeful about this culture among our young students because in schools, we know that they all have these mother tongue cultural workshops. Mm. And our students are very much exposed to culture in schools.
Okay.
We are also a provider of the cultural program. So it helps that in our multicultural society with our, you know, hawker culture. Mm. So traditional food is something
we
hold on to strongly. And even the topic of food itself, there's so much vocab you can learn from it. You know, so the culture is very much living. Fashion, fashion, music, these are all culture.
Mm.
So being a Singaporean, actually, it helps. You know, I want to learn more because we get to have all these fusion thing. And for you to contribute to this multiculturalism, you must know your own culture first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm very hopeful still that our youngsters do find it relevant and they do find it cool, actually. And when you ask about how proficient you want our students to be, our students now are gearing up to, they know that they are practicing the language through podcast activities. Many of our students are using, so our Malay language teachers in school, they are showing us, hey, learning how to speak Malay is good. No, now you can do podcasts like Mr. Steven Chia.
There needs to be that cool factor tagged on.
They need that cool factor for the language.
So pop culture does play. I mean, pop culture.
Social media.
Make the learning fun, the experience enjoyable.
For me, I think, like I said, I grew up in a generation where I was severely traumatized by mother tongue. But it took, you know, like watching, you know, Mandarin shows, Chinese shows.
C-dramas,
Chinese dramas, listening to music, you know, that kind of stuff that made me appreciate it. But what do you guys do, you know, back home, at home, you know, to help your kids appreciate the language better?
Like I said, I
blast Chinese radio.
Chinese music,
she's like only
C-drama,
strictly Chinese radio.
Yes, strictly Chinese radio. But I believe that, especially for Chinese language, you really need to either read a good story, listen to some music, and or watch a movie, something that is cultural, and then it sticks. It has to have that relevance in their lives, and then they have the motivation, and then you start learning the language and you want to learn. So I think for me, one is to set expectations. I think people expect that my kids will speak very good Mandarin,
right?
But I always tell them no, and I tell my children that, okay, you don't have to. I mean, I try to interest them, but I don't want to force it on them.
Okay.
So I let it be a lifelong journey. I tell them that take your time. So that, but that also means that they didn't do well at the exams, and I have to accept that.
I like that that you are not focused on the 10 years that they are in school, your primary and your secondary years, that these 10 years so crucial, you need to get your A, and then after that you can do whatever you want. But you're saying that it is a journey. You, they may come at the language when they are older, you know, in their, like when they're 17 or 18, they may fall in love with the language. I like that. Like, I think that's a good approach. Like, I think parents need to set clear expectations that they have no expectations.
To let them know, because it's, it is very stressful being my kids. They everyone expects them to have good Chinese results, but they are very, very regular, run-of-the-mill type. They're not very good at it. They don't even want to speak. So the same thing when you push them a Chinese book, like read a Chinese book, they give me the...
Is the English good?
Much better. I think, and also there's a difficulty. So one, going back to, you know, how do we help them? You are putting one of the world's most difficult language, Chinese. Chinese, Japanese, and Arabic. Those are the three listed most difficult languages to learn in the world. So you have Chinese, most difficult to learn. You have English, which is a phonetic system. I don't blame them for wanting to read an English book, because it's so much easier. Even for myself, when I'm tired, I pick up an English book. So if you have a student where you are learning, you know, a phonetic system, and then you're learning this Chinese, which requires you memorizing at least 2,000 unique characters before you can read a short paragraph independently. Like, if you consider this, they will not, I did math, you cannot read your own, a book on your own until you're about primary five. So I think it is very discouraging for students. Whereas on one hand, by primary five, some students can read Harry Potter. They are moving on to very interesting books. And then for Chinese books, they can barely even, you know, read about the animals and
but
the
that
forest.
One you can't do anything about. That's the way the language has been created.
It takes just six times.
I think we need to recognize that. So parents, I tell them, when they come to my bookstore and they say, I want to buy a book. How old are your kids? 7, 6 years old, 5 years old. I said, is someone reading to them? Because
no,
it is not.
Because I cannot read Chinese. Then that's your answer there, right?
And so that's the other problem I'm trying to solve. Maybe I can read it and then make it into a podcast or something, and then the parents can let the kids listen to it. Audiobooks might work. But I think parents need to know this, because every time I tell our parents that, their eyes light up like, oh, so my kids are not falling behind because they cannot read. But then they're at P5, they cannot read. But then P6, they have to go for PSLE. I mean, that is part of the anxiety that parents are experiencing when it comes to Chinese. So that's when they send, you have no choice. You have to send them for tuition. You have to bump up their grades.
Would you say Malay is a bit easier, or is it just as difficult for the kids?
Definitely easier, I think, if compared to
you don't need how many thousand
you can definitely read the words and but I guess the challenge for our students now is vocab. They can read, of course they can sound it out, but they do not understand the meaning. So my advice is parents need to understand and to empathize with the student, with the children lah. Understand that it's difficult. So that's where, as teachers, we facilitate to them. We know, you mentioned about childhood trauma, where I mean, in the past, I think our teacher's way is, you can only speak that language in class. If you speak English, you'll be...
Chinese speaking week or Malay speaking week, right?
You can only bring a book.
Yes, if you speak dual language. But that's where we meet our students. We know it's difficult for them. So yes, I do my job of introducing the vocab to them. I introduced, I'm basically a translating app for them. Of course, there's dictionary, there's apps, but they will not do it if, you know, it's not something pleasant for you to do yourself. So it's our job to help to tell them I am exposing in my classes. Yeah. That's what we do. We expose to them this is the meaning of all the words, and the more they are exposed, I guess, the more they are comfortable and not so traumatized when facing a text in the mother tongue language.
So I think it boils down to parents just chilling, you know, set you know,
but
make
how to
sure.
chill. The PSOE chill. Is coming up, the, you know. Yeah,
maybe,
I ended
maybe
up memorizing
about...
my Chinese compositions. That's how bad I was.
And then how much
you
did
just
you get?
Do the what they call the one ten wen tang, the continuation.
Correct.
Of story,
yes.
So you know, start the connection will be bad, but it'll be really powerful for one passage, and then the ending will be quite bad.
So you memorize,
I memorize
the
section. Memorize
the, and it's the same one that you can utilize for whatever.
I don't know how many years I used it, but yeah, many.
But that's what's happening. We get a lot of students who can get A's, who can get A1s, you know, but then they cannot speak, they cannot use it. And it's just for exam purposes.
Yeah.
Are we really doing our students a favor by making them do that?
No, we're not.
We spent 10 years learning a language in school.
And I did enjoy it.
Yeah.
And now I feel I don't need it, to be honest. I think with technology and all that, I've got enough. If I need to, I just check online and I'm good to go.
I definitely learn a lot because I have like very young kids.
Oh, yes.
So I'm like looking forward right now and just thinking to myself, okay, at which point do I start panicking?
From now onwards, all the radio stations in the car, only Chinese.
Only Chinese
yes.
podcasts.
So
that
you watch TV,
not our podcast.
Netflix, you switch to the Chinese audio, the Chinese.
They do actually.
Yeah,
so they watch Peppa Pig in, like,
in
Mandarin.
I sometimes make them do that.
Yeah.
Okay,
because otherwise, Chinese is hard. Like, you know, you can say
it's really tough.
It's the phonetics ma 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 ma, like ma is horse, then ma ma is
that's true.
So even if you recognize a word, you might not be able to pronounce it. Even if you can pronounce it, you might not even know its meaning.
Exactly.
Yes, that's true.
Okay. Yeah.
That's true. Okay.
On that note, thank you so much for coming, sharing these thoughts with us. If you guys have, especially folks, if you have kids at home, I know you are struggling with these two young kids, you know, preparing for the exams. How do you feel about this whole second language thing and, you know what, the struggles that you have? Do drop us a note. Love to hear from you.
Yes. And special thanks to the team, Janaini Johari, Ho Peining, Ned Fertovaro, Joanne Chan, Charlene Tan, sound by Faiz Samhari, Tira Pong, and video by Hanida Amin.
See you guys next week.
See
Bye
ya.
For now.
Thank you.